It's always my favourite time of the month when the vet is in the house, because Hayley Baker joins me from Vets for Pets, which she does, of course, every month here on Cambridge 105. Hayley, welcome.
Good morning.
Sorry you had to swim across the car park.
That's all right, we survived. We survived.
Just about, thank goodness for umbrellas.
Perfect service, though, so collecting me from the car with the umbrella.
What has been on the menu these last few weeks
at the practice? There has been a definite outbreak of diarrhoea the last couple of weeks.
You always have the nicest things to bring us, don't you?
Don't try, Justin. Yes. Sorry. So there is definitely a bug going around at the moment. So if your dog does pick up a bit of diarrhoea, in the vast majority of cases, it seems to be sorting itself out within 48 hours. But if you're worried in the slightest, do run them down to your vet to get them checked out, because we've had a couple of cases that have just needed hospitalising for fluids. A bit, you know, the slightly younger or older dogs have just been hit a bit
harder. Because they dehydrate themselves.
And that's exactly the problem, is that it's not so much that they're getting blood infections or anything like that. Purely the dehydration is just too much, and they just need 24 hours of fluids, and generally they feel a lot better in themselves. So do keep an eye out.
What's bringing this on? Are they drinking dirty water outside,
exactly,
swimming in the rivers, that sort of thing?
This time of year with the hot weather, the puddles dry out, so they just get a bit more stagnant, and it just seems to be that seems to be what brings it on. And then a lot more dog socialisation as well, I think, because it's a much nicer, more pleasant environment for you to walk your dogs when it's sunny. So you're coming across more dogs, there are more dogs out walking, and that's how it gets transmitted often.
Rule of thumb then, okay, so if the dog starts to show signs of this, what should you do at home for self-medicating?
So what you can do is you can move them onto a bland diet. So just some boiled rice, boiled potatoes, boiled white fish, boiled chicken with no skin on, and feed that to them for a couple of days. It's really important to keep feeding through diarrhea, though, because if you don't feed them, the guts aren't getting the nutrients that they need and they can't recover. So little and often bland food, and that often is enough to settle it down. Sometimes some probiotic can really help as well. That just helps get rid of some of the spasms, gets the right bacteria in there working properly.
Probiotic, where do we get that from?
So you can either buy it off the internet or from a vet or from some pet shop stock, some really good brands. So the ones that we generally recommend are Procolin or Canagen, are very, very good, and they're tailored specifically to dogs and cats.
So, and you add it to the food?
You just pop it in the food, or if you like my dog, they just lick it off the end of the syringe.
Well, dogs are great. They'll eat anything. What Absolutely. About the pussycat, if that's showing signs of that?
So with cats, we always play it a little bit more cautiously, just because they can get themselves run down. And if they stop eating at any point, straight down to the vets, because cats just don't cope well if they don't eat. But similar sort of thing, bland food. Cats love fish, so a bit of white fish for them. Generally,
some cats do. I know a cat that's listening this morning that doesn't.
She's a monkey.
Only off my plate, actually.
Typical.
Seems
typical.
Fine on the plate. Put it down.
It's not as good if it's not on your plate.
Well, obviously not. Yeah, she likes a bit of bat around it as well, I ought to say.
Yeah, don't feed them that if they've got a bad tummy.
Because that is the problem with cats. It's very different. I mean, we've discussed it several times on our programme, so how different cats and dogs are with some of these things that happen to them.
Absolutely, and it's really important that people appreciate that, because the things that we get concerned about in cats, we don't necessarily get so concerned about in dogs, and vice versa. And so it's really important to understand your own animal and know where the needs are different. And the big thing with cats is any period of time they stop eating for, you need to get them checked out, because
they go downhill very quickly.
Absolutely.
Don't I know it. Now, Pet Hero, if everybody goes to our homepage here at Cambridge 105, you will see a very fine ad called Pet Hero. And it's all Hayley's fault, basically, because you are looking for somebody or a rather special pet. So explain to us what this competition's all about.
Exactly. So we decided that we wanted to try and recognise those pets in Cambridge that do that something extra, that something special for someone. And we wanted to try and acknowledge how wonderful these animals are and really reward them for being fantastic and for supporting someone, some people, or just doing something a little bit unusual for an owner. So we've set up what's called our Pet Hero, and we want to find Cambridge's next pet hero. And the plan is, over the next 3 months, once a month, we will pick out of all of the people that submit their photos and a comment to our Facebook page, one winner each month. And at the end of the 3 months, we'll have the three finalists, and we'll pick an overall winner from that, with the view that we'll be having an awards ceremony for those three to acknowledge how fantastic that they've been. And there will be prizes involved, of course.
Fantastic.
But what we want is, we want all stories, big, small. If your animal has has affected your life and has made your life better. We want to hear about it. There was a hysterical one on there this morning where someone had tagged their friend in it and said, oh, you should nominate your dogs. And the reply was, well, I don't think I can really nominate them for lying there and eating cheese. But I think it's brilliant that, you know, that just makes you smile and happy, and it's people interacting and talking about their animals and how individual they all are and how special they are. So we've had some brilliant stories so far of animals that have supported their owners through very difficult times. Mm. But we've also had clients come in and they've caused career changes. So I've got one lady whose dog is now made her change and she wants to become a dog trainer because of the enjoyment that she's had through training her own dog. We've got clients who have become dog groomers and things like that. So we want to hear all these stories, not necessarily just about animals that have supported you through difficult times. They're amazing and brilliant. But if you just feel that your animal is special to you and you want to share it, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear all these different, you know, varieties of stories. Have the animals been through a difficult time? Have they had a really nasty surgery that they've recovered and they've pulled through it and they're now doing brilliantly? All those sort of things.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. So everybody needs to think about their own animal in
absolutely.
All of this. I'm thinking cats and dogs, but it could be any animal.
Any animal at all. Absolutely. You know, your bunnies, your guinea pigs, your reptiles. It's amazing the impact that an animal, no matter how big or small, can have on a life and how much it can bring you out. I know personally for myself, I suffer with slight anxiety and
I'm not surprised in your practice so busy.
And my dogs, what they do is they get me out on dog walks and talking with people, and I wouldn't do that otherwise. And so they're my pet heroes. They keep me going, and it's stories like that that it's so heartwarming to hear and so lovely to be being posted on our Facebook page, and we're getting to see all of this.
And it occurs to me that when people do post those instances on the Facebook page, other people will read them and think, well, that's a good idea, isn't it? There's much talk at the moment about this, it's a good word, well-being, for people, particularly with people that are sort of undergoing dementia and all those symptoms at the moment. An animal can absolutely change the course of the way you're thinking, because they are there permanently and it's something a bit special. And of course there's this big drive for taking dogs and indeed cats into old people's homes and allowing them to sort of associate, and just sitting on a knee and being stroked can actually make somebody's day.
Well, it's been scientifically shown that it can actually increase people's quality of lives to interact with animals, and the pets as therapy animals are absolutely brilliant. So they're the dogs that go into hospitals to go meet the children, and as you say, old people's homes where they have cats that go in. I just think it's absolutely fantastic, because they're increase in happy hormones effectively that they cause is something that you can't get through medication, and it's so important to allow people to interact with animals. And I know certainly my own daughter, being brought up surrounded by lots of different fluffy things it just makes her very happy whenever she sees animals, and she points at every single one whenever she's out, screaming at the top of her voice often, and it's just so lovely to see that interaction and the effect that an animal can have on an individual.
And of course the responsibility aspect of allowing a small child to learn how to look after an animal, that in itself, I mean, that animal then instantly becomes a pet hero, because you've got a distracted child and then a puppy or a kitten or even a goldfish comes into the household, suddenly there's a focus and there's quite often a great change in behaviour and everything.
Exactly, and I certainly feel that putting some responsibility onto children to look after these animals is great for them, because it gives them that purpose and they feel like they own this animal and it's theirs, and the bond that they can develop is just amazing.
Right, so everybody out there that's got a pet who you absolutely adore, and why wouldn't you, just think of ways that they have enhanced your life, and then you can go through on our homepage. If you click on Pet Hero on our homepage, it'll take you straight through to Vets for Pets, where you can send your photos in, and it's easy to download them now, I mean on your iPads or whatever to
absolutely.
Do that. And then just to type in a little bit about why you think your pet is a hero.
Absolutely.
And you'll
Thank
keep
you.
Us right up to date.
We will, well,
with,
hopefully next time.
and riders.
Exactly. Next time I'll be in, we'll have our first Pet Hero of the Month announced, so we'll be able to announce that one.
Very good news indeed. Okay, so don't forget that Pet Hero, and as Haley says, it is running over the next 3 months, so you don't have to instantly react to it. But judging by today, I mean, if your Labrador saves you from drowning in a puddle, it's got to go
that
down,
is a good
isn't
enough
it,
reason.
Really, quite frankly. Let's talk a little bit. We planned, you and I, last week when it was about 26 degrees out there and everybody was sweltering. And I have to say that I walked past a car which made me send you an email instantly. In that car was a dog. None of the windows were open and it was clearly in distress. And I was about to kick up the biggest rumpus I could find by contacting the police or whoever. Yeah. And the owner did come along. And I have to say, I'm not usually a violent person, but I did have to sort of walk away very quickly because I had to say that for the rest of the day, it so completely upset me. It's an easy mistake to make if you just don't think about it, but heat kills.
It really does. And the problem is that the heat inside the car is so much greater than the heat outside. And so you may be outside and think, actually, it's not too bad because the wind is blowing. And although the sun is shining, you still may have a cardigan on or a jumper because that wind is bringing the temperature down. But inside a car where the sunbeam is coming straight in, it can be 10, 15 degrees hotter than it is outside. And so it can very quickly become very dangerous for a dog to be inside. Their abilities to lose heat not great. They can only pant. Dogs can't sweat, so they can't lose heat like we do. They've got thick fur coats, some thicker than others, and so they really can struggle to lose the heat that they need to, and so it very rapidly becomes a serious situation.
And rapidly, it's a matter of minutes.
Absolutely, that's the problem, is it can go from a dog being absolutely fine to its temperature going up too high and start causing organ problems, start causing them to pant excessively, and it can actually cause their airways to close up as well. And that's when you start getting these serious problems. And as you say, these changes occur over a matter of minutes rather than longer than that. So we just would advise at no point ever to leave your dog in a car when the sun is shining.
And of course, I mean, if you're just thinking, well, I'm only popping to the supermarket, a supermarket shop's going to take you 25 minutes. It's going to be too late when you get back.
Absolutely. That's too long. You know, there is no excuse to ever leave your dog in a car when it's hot. If you have to take the dog with you, you know, it's just not acceptable nowadays. People are aware of what's going on. There is enough campaigning from the RSPCA, from the Blue Cross, from Cats Protection, things like that, just to try and make people aware of this, that ignorance is not an excuse anymore. And it's just so upsetting when we still get these cases coming through our doors.
And me, being a busybody, what should you do if you see something like that happening?
So immediately dial 999 and they will either instruct you to break the window down if safe or they will get someone there ASAP. I have on occasion once broken a window because I saw a dog in the back of the car and it was not in a good state, and it is a decision obviously that you have to decide what to do, but obviously always ring the police first and get their advice before going in.
And replacing windows, ladies and gentlemen, can be a very expensive job, particularly if you're sort of at fault in the first place. So.
Absolutely.
Great advice. And essentially, if you do decide to be sensible and leave the dog at home, you've got to be out at work all day. How should you leave a dog when you know that the temperatures are going to be sort of booming?
So you just want to make sure that they're in a well-ventilated room. So the air needs to be able to circulate around so that it doesn't heat up. And there needs to be more than enough access to water. So if you need multiple bowls down, then that needs to be the case. If you've got dogs that have long hair, for example, get it clipped off over the summer so that they're nice and cool. I know there are some breeds that the breed standard doesn't accept short hair, but their welfare is more important in these situations. You can buy fantastic things like water coats now that basically soak up the water and you put them over the dog to keep them cool also.
My goodness,
there are lots of different things.
So like Little Macs.
Exactly, they're brilliant. And they fill with water and then they can keep the dog nice and cool if they have got longer hair.
So it's like giving them a cool bag.
Exactly.
Extraordinary.
No, they're brilliant. I've seen a couple of dogs on with them on last week and they really do make a difference for them.
What a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Cool. What are they called?
Do you know what? I don't
cool
know.
Coats or something.
Something like that. I'm not entirely sure of the trade name.
Superb.
Actually.
I just think that's absolutely wonderful. We shall take a break for some travel news. Then we will come back and talk about other heat-related problems. We'll talk about the pussycats as well, because for those of us that have long-haired cats, Molly Bloom, it's always a problem at this time of year. But just to tell you, you that our vet is in the house, Hayley Baker from Vets for Pets, and let's just check on the travel news. And Hayley, we're talking sort of heat conditions on a day which is so autumnal, it's unbelievable. And if it wasn't for the leaves on the trees, I would sort of put money on November this morning. But presumably the sun will return. In fact, I think we're going to have a bit of a better day tomorrow. And everybody takes for granted the fact that when we wake up to a beautiful sunny day, out come the shorts and the T-shirts and the vests. We all put the barbecues on and we enjoy that sunshine. But it's not the same for our pets in the house. I have a cat who heads for the borders and insists on lying right in the middle of the sun. You've met her, you know her very well. And so I have to bother about that. I don't think to myself, oh, she's a cat, she'll sort it out herself. She comes in, sunburnt ears, sometimes a sunburnt nose, and it only is a matter of minutes. One of my other cats, I used to have to find a wet tea towel and put it on her because she insisted on lying in the sunshine. Because everyone has this wonderful picture of cats lying in the sun and letting the day go past with them. And that's, of course, what they like to do. But it's no good for their health.
No, absolutely. And you hit on two important points there. One is the actual heat of the animal itself. And certainly, I've got a black dog and she goes and she will lie in the sun to the point where she is panting. And you know, she comes back inside and she stood there panting and panting and panting. And I know that her temperature is higher than it should be. And you have to literally bring her back indoors and shut the doors sometimes. Otherwise, she will lie there and make herself ridiculously hot. And sometimes you have to take the action for the animal and say, actually, this is not OK. You can't lie out there, make yourself overheat. We need to protect you.
Well, we domesticate them on one hand, and then we wonder why we've got to worry about it. That's the reason, isn't it? Because they live in our world. Therefore, they can be as silly as we are. We go out there, get ourselves sunburnt, you know, hives, everything else that comes on. Exactly. But for an animal, it's a different thing altogether.
No, it really is our responsibility to make sure that they're looked after properly and that they're not doing something silly by lying themselves in the sun and getting too hot. And exactly as you say, sunburn, it's a real problem in dogs and cats. And sunscreen is something that should be used routinely on any pink areas of an animal. So if you've got a white cat or white bits of a cat that are exposed, a pink nose, same with dogs, any pink nosed dogs or any exposed thin haired areas, you should be applying sunscreen to them because they will get
special
burned.
Sunscreen?
So no, just human sunscreen is absolutely fine, just high factor as you would do for yourself, because we can see exactly the same thing. Melanomas, cancer can occur, and we see it regularly in white cats, especially on the tips of their ears or on their noses. So it is really important that they're protected from the sun as well.
And some of these tiny breeds of dogs hardly have any hair on them at all, don't they? I mean, I'm thinking about all these sort of different varieties of tiny ones. They really are at risk.
Absolutely. And anywhere that the hair is thin, the sun can penetrate through. So it's just being sensible and making sure that they're not out in the middle of the day. You should only walk your dogs first thing in the morning, last thing at night. One thing my own dog does is she loves chasing a ball. She has to chase a ball at all times whenever she's out. And on a hot day, she will still chase the ball to the point of she would collapse before stopping. So it's our responsibility again to say, no, actually, it's too hot. You cannot be chasing a ball. We're just going to go for a little potter. Then we're going to go back inside just so you've stretched your legs. And that's it. So it really is up to us to make sure that we're not putting them in situations, because I've heard people say to me previously, oh, well, the dog will stop when it's too hot. No, it won't. It will keep going and keep going until it makes itself pass out.
Now, cats are willful, obviously, as I can attest to the grey hair around my temple. And you can't, unlike dogs, you can't just tell them what to do. So you need to make some sort of preparation inside the house for these really hot days.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important with cats is trying to provide them shade out in the garden. So even if you have to go and get a parasol for them to sleep under, they much prefer being outside and sleeping in the sun. It's much nicer. You know yourself, it's lovely to have a kip in the garden. But if you can try and persuade them to at least lie under a parasol or some shade.
So wait till they're asleep and then creep up.
You can put one over, exactly. Yeah. And that will at least then help minimise direct sun contact, keep them a bit cooler. You know, as you said, if you need to, put a wet tea towel over them if your cat will tolerate that.
Worked very well for me.
Brilliant. I was about to say, I'm not sure many cats will, but if you've got one that will, brilliant. And just be sensible. Make sure, again, they have access to lots of water. Cats unfortunately, are so fussy with what type of water they drink. So if you know you've got a cat that only likes stagnant water, put some in a big bowl outside for several days beforehand so that it's not fresh.
They can well, then today you can catch some rainwater.
Catch it today, exactly.
Yes. It does. I have to say, rainwater is brilliant for long-haired cats. Her ladyship went out this morning, got absolutely soaking wet. She came in and dried off, and her fur is beautiful.
Perfect.
Suddenly.
Much easier than
really
having to bath her.
Absolutely. Oh, don't. don't. I can still feel the claw marks one way or another with that. The knock-on effect, of course, we talked at length a couple of months ago about the bugs that are about, the fleas, obviously, and all of that, and being well aware of the fact that all the animals need dosing so that you have a sort of a trouble-free summer as far as that's concerned. But what about skin ailments? Presumably, they are really magnified by hot weather.
This time of year is really when we see all our skin complaints coming in, and it's for a number of reasons. It's because more dogs are swimming, so they're coming in contact with dirty water, it's not getting cleaned off, and so they're getting skin infections. But also pollen at this time of year is much higher, and we see a very high level of incident of pollen allergies in both more dogs but also cats as well. And so we have a lot of itchy animals coming in at this time of year, definitely.
And what can you do for that?
So it depends on what's causing it. So the main thing is to try and find out, is there anything that's specifically causing it? So if you find out that the dog's a swimmer, you need to make sure that they are being properly rinsed off afterwards. Sometimes they might need a medicated shampoo, some antibiotics to settle everything down. If it looks like an allergy type problem, it can be quite difficult to get to the bottom of what's causing it. You can do skin testing like you do on humans or blood testing to try and find out what it is. Sometimes it's a case of trying to exclude problems, but you can get to the bottom of it, and sometimes you end up putting animals on something just to decrease the itch over the summer months, and then they're fine again during the winter period.
What about feeding in hot weather? Because obviously, I mean, cats are the first sort of creatures to just turn their nose up and say, no, I don't feel like it today. But presumably changing dinner times might be a good idea for sort of cooler times?
I think definitely animals prefer to eat in cooler times of the day, and my dogs definitely don't eat as quickly. They still eat, but not as quickly when it's hot. And so sometimes just, you know, changing meal times so it's slightly earlier in the morning when it's cooler or later at night. But also if cats in particular don't eat their wet food straight off, take it away immediately, just because otherwise you can get fly eggs and problems like that you wouldn't necessarily get in the winter, where you may leave them down for a couple of hours for them to come back. So that's really important.
So introduce a dry food as well, which is helpful.
I think with cats there is a lot of debate as to what is better, wet or dry food, and I think a combination kind of covers both your bases on that front.
Well, Molly Bloom, some days she'll have biscuits, other days she thinks I'm trying to poison her. So I mean, you know how that is with that.
Absolutely.
So essentially, this is what people need to do. Now, it is worth mentioning, with holiday time coming up, that people really do need to think ahead from a vaccination point of view if they're thinking of putting cats and dogs into kennels.
Absolutely. So pretty much all kennels nowadays will expect your animals to be vaccinated. With the cats, it's making sure that they've got their flu vaccine effectively covered. Dogs, it really depends from kennel to kennel as to what their requirement is. So I always say, ring them in advance and make make sure that you know what the kennels want. And because a lot of them will want kennel cough vaccines done. Some of them won't want it done in the 2 weeks prior because it's a live vaccination. So in theory, there is a risk of transmission to other animals with
it. So you've got to get it done.
So you have to get it done in advance just to make sure that everything is sorted. So yeah, forward planning is very important.
Fantastic. Now, everybody absolutely loves you. You better tell us where you work from so that we can all come and beat your door down with our pets, queue down the street. Because Vets for Pets, we've got two opportunities for Vets for Pets in the city, and you are hanging out at Barnwell Road.
I'm at Barnwell Road, exactly, and then we have our Beehive Centre branch as well when we're in the back of the Pets at Home store, and we're more than happy for people to come and have a nosy around, look around. We do practice tours regularly, so please feel free just to pop in and come and say hi.
I am going to bring my radio microphone to you, and I'm going to spend a day with you soon.
That would be fantastic.
So that I'm going to go round and have a real poke round myself to let everybody know what you get up to there. Our thanks, as always, for all your lovely common sense and everything. And to remind everybody about that Pet Hero competition.
Thank you.
So what they need to do is go to our homepage, or they can go to the Vets for Pets page, and then make sure that you download your photograph and a little bit of a comment about why your pet is a hero.
Exactly.
Well, you are our hero, and we shall see you next month, and we shall look forward to it.
Thank you, Mandy. I've had a brilliant time. See you next month.
Lovely. Hayley Baker there from Vets for Pets. And don't forget that Pet Hero. You'll find it on our homepage with a link direct through so that you can enter your pet into the competition.